Right now, though, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. You can find Arthur, of course, on Robinhood Radio Live on a Monday morning, rebroadcast during the noontime hour and also on the weekends. And we say good morning to Arthur Schwartz. Good morning on tax day, Mr. Schwartz.
Oh, yes, it is, isn't it? I'd forgotten since I've already filed my tax.
I know. I do mine right away as soon as I can, so I can just get it out of the way. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a last-minute guy, but not that last-minute.
I used to be.
The check has not cleared yet.
That's right.
But the government usually cashes your check instantly. You know, do you ever notice that?
Well, that's the whole thing. I don't even bother. I just do the shortest form possible. I give them their money, and that way I don't have to deal with them. Yeah, that's exactly right. It doesn't take long to come out of your checking account.
No. I don't argue with the IRS.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I, you know, I am. Let me just start by saying, I think Whole Foods has revolutionized food shopping. They have even revolutionized the supermarket flyer. I got this beautiful-looking booklet. Well, it's not so lit. Little book. In the mail the other day, and the cover is a wonderful, wonderful picture of a pineapple cut open. So it's the juiciness of this pineapple that comes right at you. I have to find that. This is photographers don't get credit in things like this. But their whole marketing thing now is that they have new lower prices on produce, parentheses, this is huge. They're so clever. Anyway, I opened this thing because it was a beautiful piece of printing, and you don't see that much these days. Certainly not in the supermarket flyer. I actually didn't even realize it was a flyer, really. But then I realized this is a supermarket flyer because the photography is so good. The food looks so tempting. And the prices tempted me into the store. We do have a Whole Foods. I would have to say it's in Gowanus. I bet you they say they're in Gowanus because to say you're in Gowanus is like very edgy, hipster Brooklyn, because Gowanus refers to the Gowanus Canal, which for a century has been a cesspool, and nobody wanted to live anywhere near it or be anywhere near it or even cross it, which you have to do sometimes. There are a couple of bridges over it. But now the Gowanus Canal has been cleaned up, and there are luxury apartment buildings along the edge of the Gowanus Canal, as if it was a scenic waterway. I guess, you know, it's way more scenic than it used to be. In any case, there's an enormous Whole Foods here, and when it first opened, you know, the joke about Whole Foods was whole salary. Besides that the prices were extraordinarily expensive, I just did not enjoy the shopping experience. And I don't need for everything to be organic. And in fact, I thought that was a sham. Whole Foods, even back in those days, not everything was organic, even though they started out by being whole foods, meaning they were going to be purer than thou. So, but then Amazon bought it, and they reduced the prices, and it suddenly got friendlier. The politics of the originator of Whole Foods is not my politics or yours, Marshall. So I eschewed the store for that reason as well, and I think, you know, things always filter down from the top. So, but now it's not only friendly but of service. I get to the checkout line yesterday, and I had a dozen eggs, and the cashier checked to make sure my eggs were all whole, not cracked. Opened it up, looked at the eggs, closed it up, put a piece of masking tape on the box so that it couldn't fall out. I thought this was beyond. And I'm an Amazon Prime member, so you get extra discounts in the store if you're a Prime member. And you don't have to be near a Whole Foods anymore to take advantage of it. Bob eats Kellogg's Complete Bran Flakes, wheat bran flakes, for breakfast. And as a very habitual person, he even carries that with him to Europe. Although we now know that Happy Morning, I think it's called in Italy, is the same thing. In any case, his cereal has skyrocketed in price in the last year, and he decided he was going to go online and see if he could find it. So he orders the cereal for $3.50 a box compared to $5 a box in any supermarket where you can find it. It's not even that easy to find. Who knows why? It's a Kellogg product. You would think wherever they sell Kellogg's, which is everywhere, they would have this product, but they don't. Anyway, he orders it online. It comes the next day as a Prime member, and it comes in an Amazon Whole Foods box online where he ordered it. It didn't even say that that's what it was going to be, but it was. And then he ordered the tea that he drinks, which is also not hard to find, but inconvenient. We stock up on it anyway. And I usually pay about $8 a box. Oh, Barry's tea, by the way. We love Barry's. It's the everyday tea in Ireland. And it's the everyday tea around here. It's a nice, strong English breakfast-type tea, although it's Irish breakfast. No, I don't think it really is. Irish breakfast tea, by the way, is Assam, usually. I don't think this is Assam. In any case, Barry's tea is usually about $8 a box. And online it's $6.50, right. and it comes the next day, and no shipping because you're a Prime member. It's amazing. So I'm not going to be ordering vegetables online, but I could see where I could order basic groceries online. And after you know the store and the quality of everything, I might even trust some other, you know, I might actually do some produce. We'll see. I mean, the prices are incredibly tempting. I did go yesterday. I didn't want to buy too much, as I'm not cooking today. But cauliflower, organic cauliflower, was $3.99 a head. That's as inexpensive as cauliflower gets, even when it's not organic, if this is. We can trust Whole Foods on this. I'm not sure why I say that either. That juicy pineapple that was on the cover is only $2.99 each, and they apparently had two big bins of them at my store because one of them was totally empty. So those went fast. At the back of the Whole Foods Market catalog. I have to call it a catalog more than a supermarket flyer with this, you know, beautiful color photography. Is reserve your Passover meal today, and all the dishes that I was really interested in this because all these dishes that they're selling prepared at Whole Foods are from Joan Nathan, a good old friend of mine. And I believe all these recipes are in her new cookbook, King Solomon's Table, which, by the way, you can buy at Amazon. And in fact, let's see. I think they even have a video of Joan at WFM. I didn't look at this at WFM. .com, that would be wholefoodsmarket.com/Joan. And so Joan's menu, or at least what they're selling at Whole Foods as Joan's menu, is, herosis. Do you know what herosis is? It's a mixture, depending on your national origins, of apples and nuts and wine. That's sort of the basic. But if you're in the Middle East, it could be dates and nuts and wine. and it represents the mortar that was used by the, this is in the tale of Passover in the Haggadah, that kept the, that the Jews used when they were forced to build as slaves for the Egyptians. Then she's got, I have a problem with the, this wording. In the flyer, they call it matzah ball soup. I know everybody calls it matzah ball soup now, but it's not matzah ball soup. It's chicken soup.
Chicken soup, yeah.
With matzah balls.
Yeah.
Because you could have chicken soup with kreplach, not for Passover. That's a Rosh Hashanah thing. Those are basically Jewish ravioli, meat ravioli. And you can have chicken soup with lakshin, but not for Passover. Lakshin is fine egg noodles. And for Passover, you have it chicken soup with matzah balls. For me, the most important thing is the chicken soup and not the matzah ball, but this may be because I don't make a confession. I don't make good matzah balls.
Well, I do.
Well, then you come to my house and make the matzah balls.
And I love matzah balls.
My sister, is gonna make, who does make good matzah balls, is going to make the matzah ball.
But I have
already made the soup.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. If you make your chicken soup ahead of time, it's chicken soup. And then after I make the matzah balls, I put them in the chicken soup. I don't make them in the chicken soup. I don't.
No. They absorb too much chicken soup.
That's exactly
but
right.
But I do put chicken fat.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
You know, here's something. Here's a little regret. I chilled my chicken broth, and then I skim it of the fat. And I forgot. I should have saved some of that chicken soup fat, which is a very high moisture fat. You can't use it to cook with, to fry with. But it is very good fat to put in your matzo balls.
When you're making them, absolutely.
Yeah, but I forgot. I flushed, so to speak, all the chicken fat because I wanted a fairly lean soup. What I have is a very, very gelatinous broth because I cooked my chickens for over 3 hours. And it's really, I must say, if I say so myself, it's a fabulous broth. Now we just, it awaits my sister's matzo balls. So after that, on Joan's menu, is asparagus with lemon, parsley, and roasted almonds. Now, as an Eastern European Jew, traditionally, we didn't have anything green on the table except the greens that are required on the Passover plate. And even those weren't so green. Where most families used parsley, we used sweet onion. Anyway, there always was those parsley sprigs somewhere, I think. But in modern times, Jews do need vegetables. We realize this, even on a traditional holiday table. And I will make asparagus as well. I'm not going to doll mine up with lemon, parsley, and roasted almonds. I'm just going to roast the asparagus. Unless Brian, I'm doing all this in my nephew's house, unless Brian decides we need to doll it up. He's of the dolling up generation. I'm at the dolling down generation. And to me, salty, oily, roasted asparagus are perfect. I doubt that I'm... And by the way, at Whole Foods, they're only $2.99 a pound, and they looked great yesterday. And then Joan is going to have a Bulgarian roasted red pepper and tomato salad. I'm not. It's not going to go. She's having a brisket. So with plain meat, I can understand this. But I'm not having plain meat. As I think described last week, I'm going to make this a chicken, crispy chicken tzimmis. My grandmother always made a tzimmis, but not this one. This is carrots and onions and prunes underneath a bed of already browned chicken. And it's glazed with honey and ginger. It's fabulous. And I'm even going to schlep my enormous black iron skillet to Philadelphia so that I can present it beautifully, too. It looks great in a black iron skillet, but we're going to be enough people that we need the giant black iron skillet. So and then Joan has another vegetable, and I love this because I make these all the time. She calls it Tunisian cumin coriander carrots, But I make roasted carrots with cumin as a regular, ordinary, everyday thing. In fact, it's one of my most ordinary vegetables because I'm always making it when the carrots look a little tired and they should be used right away. So I would take like a whatever carrots I have, and I slice them about, not a half an inch, but, you know, somewhere between a third of an inch, let's say a third of a measure that you don't see in cookbooks because food editors hate a third of an inch for some reason. But I would say a third of an inch on a sharp diagonal, so you get long slices, and they're nice-looking slices, too, not little rings. You want something bigger than that. And I toss that with a little bit of olive oil, just enough to coat it, and salt and cumin. And you can put the cumin on heavy, or you can put the cumin on very light. It's up to you. Stick that on a baking sheet in a 450-degree oven for about 15, 20 minutes, and they're delicious. So I'm not doing that either because I'm making the tzimmis, which is going to be full of carrots. But what I am going to do is, and if you have my cookbook, Arthur Schwartz's Jewish Home Cooking, I'm going to make potato kugel, which you can make on Passover. It does not contain any flour. And to me, it's, you know, I only make it twice a year, and I love it. And it also, usually I make a big tray, so it lasts for a couple days. It's one of those things that tastes better reheated. So that's a good holiday thing. And even if you're not Jewish, you might appreciate a good potato kugel. And it's, you know, kugel means pudding. And there's all kinds of kugel. There's noodle kugel. There's, these days, there's all kinds of vegetable kugels. But potato kugel is very old-fashioned, Eastern European. And because what did we have at this time of the year? It's so early spring in Belarus that there's not much spring vegetable to eat. So you're still eating potatoes. So here's the ingredients list is very short. For 3 pounds of russet potatoes, that's baking potatoes. And these days I buy big potatoes, big baking potatoes, because it's easier, quicker to peel them. Now, my recipe, which you will see in Arthur Schwartz's Jewish Home Cooking, if you have the book, calls for a dozen eggs. I'll tell you about that in a second, but I have reduced it. I now only use 10 eggs. So 3 pounds of potatoes, 10 eggs, 2 medium onions. That means 12 ounces of onions. The convention for onions, by the way, everywhere is there are 3 medium onions to a pound. So when you're buying onions, and I often make sure that I get enough medium onions and then small onions. I don't use large onions that much, you know, when I buy onions. And then this is your Passover or not ingredient, 2/3 cup of matzah meal. Now, not matzah cake meal, but just plain old matzah meal. 1 tablespoon of salt. I know that sounds crazy, but potatoes take a lot of salt, and you'll see in the end. And by the way, this serves like 12 people, so not much per person. You could figure it that way. At least 3/4 of a teaspoon of ground black pepper. I use freshly ground black pepper. It can be up to a teaspoon if you like things peppery. My grandmother always made hers peppery. And then 3 tablespoons of fat. Now, I mentioned you could have skimmed some of my soup fat and saved it for this. But if you happen to have chicken fat, go for it. Duck fat I've used, which you can buy in the supermarket. D'Artagnan markets a little container of duck fat, perfect for this. But if none of that appeals to you, 3 tablespoons of vegetable oil will do. Now, it's the technique here. No matter what your formula, the technique is important because I do this in a food processor, and let me just say, peel the potatoes, chunk them up, keep them in a bowl of cold water, but not too long. you know, until you're ready to process. It could be an hour or so. You could do this little by little. And then in a very large bowl, beat together the eggs, I said 10 eggs, and they're ready to receive, so to speak, okay? And then in your food processor with the metal blade, pulse the onions until they're very finely chopped, but not liquefied. I mean really finely chopped. And scrape that into the bowl with the eggs and stir them in. And stir in your two-thirds cup of matzo meal. And now we're going to work on the potatoes. So that's your base. Eggs, matzo meal, onion. The onion provides some acidity that will help keep the potatoes from turning color. Now, drain your potatoes that you had them chunked up in a bowl, and in the same processor, there's no need to clean it, in at least three batches, could be two batches, depends on your control over your food processor, process the potatoes until they're very finely chopped. The pieces should sort of look like a grain of rice. Well, I should say most of it should be smaller, but nothing should be larger than a grain of rice. And then as you process each batch to this fineness, immediately scrape it into a strainer over a bowl and with a rubber spatula or the back of a spoon, press out the moisture that's in those potatoes. You will see, by the way, when you do this, eventually, after the potatoes are all finished, there's going to be a layer of potato starch at the bottom of that bowl. So immediately stir those potatoes into the onion and egg mixture and discard the liquid with the potato starch in the bowl and do it all over again. And then season with the salt and pepper. I said a tablespoon of salt, at least 3/4 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper. And you're going to do this in a 13-by-9-inch baking pan. That's your standard Pyrex baking dish. And you pour 2 tablespoons of the vegetable oil or the melted chicken fat into this dish and put it into the oven just to heat. It goes in a 400-degree, I think it's a 400-degree oven. My memory is failing me. No, I said 350-degree oven. This has got to cook slow. In a 350-degree oven, and as soon as, and just for a few minutes to heat the pan, and then pour your batter into this pan. You will see that the oil will come up the sides of the pan, especially in the corners. Press the batter down and fill those corners with potato batter. And it's a good thing when the oil comes over the top of the batter. It adds crispness. And in fact, the other tablespoon of fat, or even a tiny bit more, could be 2 tablespoons of fat, drizzle over the surface of the batter. Put that in your 350 oven for an hour and 15 minutes. It will be lightly browned. You can do this ahead, let it cool, refrigerate it, and reheat it in the 350-degree oven. What I like to do is I put it in the, well, it depends on what else is going in the oven or has been in the oven, but if I'm doing this on its own, I would put it into the cold oven, turn the heat to 350. You're not gonna cover this or anything because you want the top to get crisp again or even crisper, and the edges to get even crispier. And just let it go until it's heated through. By the way, it can even be frozen, but we're so close to the Passover that, you know, you can make this on Wednesday and serve it Friday night. That would be good, actually.
Sounds
good. In fact, it's probably what we're doing.
And when people make it, when you say press it down, it's just like making an omelet. You can keep pressing it down till everything's to the sides, yeah.
Well, the oil comes up the sides of the pan, to the corners, and you want some oil on the top. And you don't need it all, but you know it's what crisps up the edges. So just keep that in mind.
All right, now I've got a way for you to peel potatoes that are very easy.
Oh, tell me.
And it's the only problem is you can't do it with a massive amount of potatoes. What I do is I have a microwave safe pot, okay, and it's big enough to hold 3 large potatoes. I put them in the microwave. When I'm preparing, when I'm going to make something that uses potatoes, I put them in the microwave for 6 minutes, and I go and I set up the rest of what I'm going to do. 6 to 7 minutes after that, you take them out, and you dump them in a bowl of very cold water, okay, the skin almost lifts off. All you have to do is just squeeze it, and it comes out.
That's because you cook the outside of the potato.
Yeah, it just comes right off. Just comes right off.
And then what do you do with these potatoes?
Well, then if you're going to use them in a dish, the way they're cooked about probably half to three quarters the way through. All right. So at that point, if they're not cooked through enough, you could throw them in the microwave for another 3 minutes. Then they're done. Then I cube them up and I put them in a food processor, and it works perfectly. It really does. But it's not for large batches. It's not for large batches. You know, if you've got like 10 or 12 potatoes, then it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm so old-fashioned. I'm even debating this situation with the – I'm going to make a walnut cake. My grandmother's Passover is really a true tort. And in the old days, I used to crack the walnut. I was the kid who was sat at the table cracking walnuts. So I put this – my nephew – and his sister threw this until my sister said, oh, they come in cans. Why are you bothering? But I think I might put my great nieces through it.
Okay. All right.
Well. Then they can go to the canned ones. But I want them to know where it comes from. They don't have to do the whole bat. We need a lot of walnuts. I mean, we'll see how they go. In my unearthing my life in storage in the part of my apartment that I'm selling, I found my nutcrackers from my childhood, the ones that I actually used at my grandmother's table to crack all those nuts. And she would make several of these walnut torts, which, by the way, this is, I've learned a lot in the years about mixing cakes, and I discovered that the reason my grandmother's walnut cake would fall sometimes, and we were supposed to tiptoe around and not close the door loud, so they didn't fall. But if you just take some of the sugar from the recipe and beat it into very gradually into the egg whites, it will stabilize the egg whites enough that the cake will never fall, or at least not very much.
A little. It'll sink a little.
You know, it is basically, it's a nut souffle. I mean, no flour.
I used to remember. I used to remember those instructions all the time, and I used to say to my grandmother when I got old enough, "Yeah, you just didn't. You always use that as an excuse." I would tell her.
So I guess I don't talk to anybody until Easter Monday.
That's right, Easter Monday.
From today will be Easter Monday. And the tradition in Italy is it's a holiday, and everybody goes on, not everybody, people go on picnics.
Well,
let's see if it's picnic weather next Monday.
It's always picnic weather in Sharon.
Are things blooming in Sharon?
No, nothing's blooming yet. Close, though.
Give it a day or two.
That's it. All right, Arthur.
All right, have a great week, everybody. Happy Easter, happy Passover. Happy Good Friday. What else is this week? I don't know if there's any Muslim holiday.
I don't know. Happy week. That's it.
That's it. Happy week.
All right, Arthur. Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, of course, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. Yeah, you can find Arthur at, of course, where? Well, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.